Pray, and then we'll sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. And Lord, we just pray that you'd look after Norman, whatever it is that's upsetting him physically this evening. I pray that you would put your good hand upon him and relieve him of it. Lord, you know all of our needs are physical and spiritual, and I pray that this service would go some way, Lord, to relieving all of those. Please be with, Lord, those that can't be with us. And I think on the McMahons and Esther and Frank even this evening, and of course Norman. And I pray you, Lord, even for all of those that have been and gone, that even now, Lord, in these last days, that you would work in their hearts and minds and draw them into a closer walk with you. Please, Lord, bless the songs and the praises, the prayers, the tithes, the offerings, the preaching, the teaching, the fellowship. Lord, just lead us and guide us through this service and do with it as you will, Lord. Just walk up and down the hall and sit with each one of us, Lord, and comfort us, strengthen us, chasten us even, Father. Just supply our daily bread today. We love you and thank you. Pray that you'll be with Brother Stan and the folks in Bangor and all the other men that are standing to preach the full counsel of your word, Lord. Please, I pray, greatly constrain us, Lord. And Father, please just give us everything that we need to set a good example, Lord, and to be your children in these last days. We love you and thank you. We'll leave these things at your feet, of course, and just want to remind you, Lord, of our private prayer requests. And Lord, want to thank you for all of the things that you have done for us, for answered prayers, Lord, for lifted up spirits, for healing, for souls returned, Lord, to the straight and narrow road, Lord, you know. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would continue to work in the hearts and minds of those that we know that don't yet know you. Please save souls, Lord. We love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. 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 I want to take the little hymn books to begin with this evening. We're going to sing hymn number 13. It's going to be our first hymn. Hymn number 13 in the little books. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Go forward to number 30. I want to sing number 30, but I was just thinking as we were singing that, Guy, have you ever come across one of those hymns that has like four or five really big long verses, and sometimes you just dread to sing them? That's not one of them. Just, I don't know what it is about that. That could definitely be with two, being,
yeah,
that could do with being two verses longer. That's a great old song.
All right, I need Jesus.
Thank you very much. Will, you come on ahead up and bring us to reading, brother, if you would.
Thank you, Mark. Turn tonight to the book of Psalms. And starting off with Psalm number 110, and then skipping a psalm, and then continuing with Psalm 112. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Continuing in Psalm number 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endure forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen.
Good verses there. Just notice one at the end of the in between chapter, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. All good stuff. I just want to remind everybody to make sure that they have one of those little prayer lists. If you take one of those, it comes with a little bit of a, is it a caveat? Is that the right word? A condition. If you're going to take one home, please pray on all of the names and all of the requests that are there. I know there are personal requests which go under private. We don't need the details, just that there are requests. But I also have a few that I have written down here. You'll forgive me if I go over them again. They won't be on your prayer list, but they will be next week. Please do pray for, I was going to say, the other two ladies in Christie's life. His granny and his mummy. His granny and his mummy are not well. Esther has a lump in her tummy, and Tina has a lump or a hole, did you say, in her throat. So please do pray for Esther and Tina, if you would. The doctor's supposed to come out and see Esther in another fortnight, the 19th of July, so please do remember that. I would like for you also to continue praying. I haven't heard how anything went. Phil's wife, Beth and Ben's mummy, Lynn, her mum has just spent the last 2 months in hospital and is supposed to be getting out. They're having a bit of a family meeting and things can be a little bit strained. So we would appreciate your prayers for her over the next wee while. She's one of those people, and I'm sure you know, the sort of them that would run herself into the ground trying to keep everybody else above ground. So please do pray for her at this time and for everybody that is in that situation. I have from Steve and Pat prayer requests for Sophia, she's a broken finger, and for Dolores, their neighbor, still not in good shape, they would appreciate your prayers for her. For Will's connection, for the Henry family at this time, mourning the loss of a granddad, dad, Christian man. Please do pray for the whole family at this time. That was something I meant to ask you. Forgive me for throwing it right in the middle of the service. Did you get another contact from the Ulster Bank? Another text?
I don't last
them. Thank you. Hopefully, we will be able to move forward with purchasing the land from Ebrington Presbyterian Church. They made it sound whenever we originally sent out about 2 years ago that they were doing us a big favour by selling us the land whenever we became charitable. And all that they've done is wasted our time, to be quite honest with you. I could wring their necks. But hopefully, in the very near future, it could have been done maybe 2 years ago, but we will be able to take possession of this land, and then we can do what we want within reason on it, and we'll not have to worry about Ebrington having a head staggers and taking the land off of us. So we can appreciate your prayers for that as well. Other than that, we would like for you to still keep praying for Monica's mom. She's still recovering from the ablation on her heart valves. Please do pray for Norman. He just wasn't feeling the best today. So he said he wasn't feeling the best yesterday either. And I think he went away home sick there with a bad stomach. So just say a wee word of prayer for him even. If my preaching starts to just sort of drone on and you don't hear the words anymore, you're thinking, what am I doing here in church? Think, pray for Norman. I'll pray for Esther and Tina.
But I've been listening to you for 17 and a half.
You'll be well tuned into me then, Steve.
Yeah.
But we're thankful. Norman and Sandra had a difficult time with a wayward son. He was spoiled rotten and he really needed a very good hiding multiple times in his life. He never got it, unfortunately. It was very, very bad to his mother, and to the extent of to the loss possibly of goodness around €100,000. That's what he would aim to do to his mother. She's passed on into eternity, but Norman is still winding up things, her affairs, because of a very wayward son. But the first stage in organizing all of that in the courts has gone in Norman's favor. And whenever I say that, it doesn't mean that it was a toss-up or there was a question of somebody having done wrong or Norman having done. The will laid down certain conditions, and the son took an old will over to Spain and got a property signed into his name illegally. So he stands to go to jail if he ever sets foot in Spain again, if things go the bad way. So please, we're glad of that. There's still more to come. Please do pray for Norman. And that's been working on his mind for the last couple of years. And that could even be something to do with, he could be suffering just from stress. So please do pray for Norman. Let me see. It's good to see Steve. Still having bothers with his feet. And it's good to see Pat still having bothers with her Steve. We're glad they can both be here. We're glad you're here, brother. And we are glad that the Lord's been looking after Christy and Taylor. So please do continue to pray for them. We're glad to see everybody else. If Norman had been here, this would have been pretty much everybody here. And a few extra visitors. We're glad to have Beryl and Christine with us this evening. We miss Mary Ann.
I feel bad about Norman. He could be down to me, but he's sick. Right. Well, he was driving along and we were talking about his foot. So I offered to drive, and after that, he said he wasn't feeling well.
Well, you keep doing that, Steve. And believe it or not, people get used to that feeling after a while. Just the thought of you driving the car. we get used to it after a while. We get used to it, it just rolls off then. The fear doesn't affect us anymore. Amen. So that's where we're at. Has anybody got any other prayer requests? Yes, Pat.
Lillian Bones. Can you pray for her? She's just been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh dear.
She has undergone treatment.
Was it their wee fella that died in the river?
Grandson that died in the river.
Please do pray for the Bones family, if you would. Anything else that you would like for me to add? Steve?
I was in a conversation with my granddaughter the other night.
Louise?
Yeah. She had a listing.
She had a friend.
A friend of Ellie. The little monkey has quite a relationship.
Hmm? Ellie and Louise?
Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but either way in my eyes, they're committed to mortal sin before God. I was just thinking it and saying it.
Well.
Doesn't matter whether it's a joke or not. I had a very hard night trying to sleep that night.
Are you sure they weren't taking a hand out of you?
It still doesn't matter. It's still going on. They're still committed to mortal sin before God.
Well, Steve. Yes, indeed. It's not a mortal sin. There's no such thing as mortal sins and venial sins. Every sin's mortal sin.
It's an abomination before
the... Oh, it is. It's a breaking of the first commandment. To go forth and multiply and replenish the earth.
Either very stupid or very stupid.
I think neither the pair of them, sir. They're hardly fit to lift themselves off the couch, let alone anything else. How's Ellie doing? Is she recovering? Is she on her feet? Using crutches or she on her feet? Good. Keep praying for them. I unfortunately have a brother-in-law who has a daughter that's she's transgender and has started transitioning. Her name's Kelly. I pray for her. And I can understand the hurt and the heartache, because there'll never be a dear granny or a dear granda out of that. There'll never be, it's childless and it's empty and it's, you know what? Paul said, they're not going to heaven, but no matter what sin you've committed, if you are prepared, people that pursue those lifestyles above all else are not going to heaven. But if you're prepared to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll save you, and He'll justify you, and He'll sanctify you. And that's the Word of God, no matter what you have done. The only thing that'll put you in hell is rejecting Christ as your Savior. Everything else can be forgiven by God. Might not be forgiven down here, but it can be forgiven by God. And it was in one of the scripture verses we were reading today. And it's in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, beautiful verses. Paul stands at the front banging his hand. He says, do you not know that homosexuals and liars and murderers and thieves and adulterers are not going to heaven? And then he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you were washed and sanctified and justified by Jesus Christ. Some of those things, brother, you just need to keep praying about them until the burden leaves you and hand it over to God, because no matter where you are, and no matter the fence that's around you, no matter how many guns are between that person and the outside world, God can waltz straight in and He can put His finger in anybody and their lives can be done. Just like that. And that's why it's important to tell them about the Lord. Right, we'll put that down as well. I hope it's not. But unfortunately, with the way things are going, it wouldn't surprise me. I'd certainly be praying for your peace of mind, brother. Hope it's not. Right. Well, we'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for each soul that's here and the houses that are represented here this evening. And Lord, you know each one of our private prayer requests and the ones that have been especially mentioned. I know Steve's worried about Louise and Ellie. And I pray you, Lord, that you would put a great stumbling block in their way, one way or the other, and straighten them out for that, Lord. But we know they're not yours. Pray they would be, but Lord, you know. Pray you for peace for Pat and Steve both, and I pray you, Lord, most importantly, that they both get saved, and their mummy too. Lord, please be with, especially at this time, Esther and Tina. over their medical issues. Norman too, whatever's upsetting his tummy, please, Lord, just settle him right down, give him a good night's rest and put him back on his feet, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for the morning. This would be our prayer, Lord. Pray you too for the leaders of our countries, for those that in the positions of power and responsibility and authority, especially in the churches, Lord, for clear consciences and short accounts with you, and the preaching of the full counsel of your word, Lord. Pray your good hand upon each one of us, Lord, for Lynn, for Pat, Lord, for Dolores, Father, for all of the people that were mentioned, Lord, for all of our needs, especially for the Henry family and the Jack Mormon family at this time, Lord, as they grieve the loss of loved ones, please. Lord, and I pray you before it's everlasting too late and before things just get back to what people think is normal, that you would give people one last chance, Lord, to consider their situations and all the things that they put their faith in that were so easily taken away. And Lord, that they would turn to you and put their faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and for watching over us, for your many answered prayers, for Norman's court case, for the improvement in Steve's feet. Lord, just for answered prayers, for sparing our lives another day. Thank you too, Lord, for giving your life on the cross, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for the many helps, comforts, chastenings and strengthenings and encouragements and exhortations and overcomings that you've sent to us, Lord. Please bless the remainder of our service. Please work in each one of our hearts and minds. And Lord, there's plenty of room in this church for you to sit beside each and every one of us and just minister to us at the point of our need. But Lord, you know. Pray you too, on closing, Lord, for Leonard, for Elaine and Hillary, for the Lemunions, for the Edgars, for the Robinsons, Lord, for the Borlands, for all those that have been and gone, for the Hoes as well, Lord. Father, there are so great needs, even in Christian homes today. We leave all this at your feet and ask this according to your will, Lord, and in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. And even as we were singing that, I take it everybody saw the thunder and the lightning and heard it, and I had to laugh because we got chickens off of Pat's son-in-law, we as in Monica and I, and for some reason they don't want to sleep in the coop. They want to be out under the stars, and that all changed today at about, 3 o'clock when the rain was coming down like stair rods. And they sought shelter in the time of storm inside the coop, and the rain was bouncing off the... And you know what I got to thinking about? Even my dumb chickens that end up on everybody's plate at some time are smarter than an awful lot of the population of this world who won't run to the Lord for shelter in the time of storm. But amen. Just shows you the invisible things of him are clearly seen through the creation of the world. I'll take a favorite if anybody has one. If not, 207. Only a sinner. I don't have the music for that. Do you know that, Mrs. Bradfield?
I think so. Do you know it?
Nope.
I thought you did.
Not at all, but we'll give it a shot. 207. Is this one of those ones, Taylor, that you were wanting us to learn to sing to?
I know this one.
Yeah. Sing up. The two of you sing up. In fact, if the two of you would like to come up.
Do you want me to play a verse?
Yes. Mrs. Bradfield is going to play an introductory verse for us. So this one's for the newbies.
Thank you.
right, all you people that know this, and especially you young lady, sing up good and loud. Go for it, Mrs. Bradfield.
Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved.
Go too badly. Number two.
Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, save me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved. Sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace.
Should sing more of those songs. Amen. I think that's us. Is that four songs we've sung? Yeah, let's put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out. We're going to, I'm not going to step on Christie's toes, but we are in Acts chapter 1 this evening, if you would like to take and turn there. Book of Acts chapter 1. Amen. You never know what you'll end up singing whenever you're in Bethel. But if you don't try some of those good old songs, you never know, you might find a favourite. And I think we have done that quite a few times in the last year or two. Acts chapter 1, if you would like to take and turn there. I'm going to read the first 14 verses, give or take, this portion of God's word. And we're going to talk about seesaws. Up and down, up and down, seesaws. Right. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in and went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. We are going to be looking at verses number 10 and 11 as our particular text, and we're talking about seesaws and, you know, the up and the down, but we're speaking particularly about looking up and looking down, but mostly looking up. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on a wee bit. Christy, if you would lead us, brother, please.
This time, Lord, for the song for the, Lord, a great reminder, for the humble reminder, Lord, that we're only a sinner saved by grace. That's our main boast in this earth. Lord, we pray for the preacher this hour, Lord, that you guide him each word, each thought, Lord. We pray that you just give him what he needs, Lord, this hour as well. Be with us as he proclaims your word, give discernment, Lord. I pray that you'd work in each heart and each mind, Lord, that there be a teachable spirit in each of us, Lord, and Lord, that we would discern what's for us as well. Help us take the message forth, Lord, to spread your love and your care for mankind overall, Lord, please. Be with each prayer request, Lord, remember the private ones especially, I pray. For those that are sick, I pray, touch Aidan. Be with Norman especially this evening, mm-hmm. Please, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Before we get into the message, there's obviously a few things that we need to speak about from this portion of God's word. First of all, and the most important being, that our Savior was seen to be and proved to be alive after he had been killed twice, if you like, on the cross of Calvary and buried, put in the tomb. He gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary, and then a soldier was commanded to go and make sure he was dead, so he had a spear thrust into his side and into his heart, and out came blood and water, signifying that he was indeed dead. And then he came back to life. He rose from the dead 3 days later. And I think we spoke about this to maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, after he had been in the heart of the earth speaking to many of the souls that had trusted him over the years but were in paradise. And then he came back again and went alive up to heaven, seen by Mary on his way up, just to placate her and to comfort her. And of course by a number of the disciples, the ones on the way to Emmaus, and even some of the disciples in the upper rooms. But did the one thing no other religious leader has ever done. Died for his people and then came back from the dead to lead his people for the endless ages of eternity. He also said a few things He said that they were about to get that other comforter, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This same Holy Spirit that came and went upon many of the Old Testament people that were basically conversational topics from day to day with the Jews. Let's talk about our history, and they would talk about Samson or the many preachers or Elijah and Elisha and the many exploits they did whenever the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Lord said, you're going to get that. But it's not going to give you extra human strength, and it's not going to give you mental abilities like you see many of these so-called superheroes. I want for you to notice something as well. I was raised up on a diet of superheroes, never give it much thought. But of late, all the talents and things that these superheroes possess are all things that belong to possessed people back in the Old Testament. People that could tell the future. Remember, they got the devil. Christy was preaching about it in the book of Acts. The devil was cast out, and the wee girl's owners got very annoyed and had the apostles thrown into jail. The demoniacs of Gadara, with their incredible superhuman strength, it's much like the Hulk and many other of the heroes, worshipped the day by many, but the power in the Bible came from devils themselves. So it's they weren't going to get that. They were going to get the assurance of salvation. They were going to get the ability to speak in tongues. The Lord said to the apostles, you will even be able to pick up poisonous things and it not hurt you, or drink poison and it not kill you. And I will, he promised at the end of Mark, I will work with you and give you signs and wonders following, confirming every word that you said. These were the things that they were waiting for. And these were the things which, if we were just to read on just another dozen or two verses, we would see actually happening. Now, one of the things that nearly destroyed me as a young person was wanting to know the future. And even before I got saved, it was one of the things that always separated me from the gospel, was wanting to know the future. And the many sources of prophecy that there are out in the world have exacted a huge toll on people who would rather read their horoscopes in the newspaper than turn to the Word of God and find out what's really going on in the world and how to avoid the worst of it. But the apostle said, well, Lord, you're back from the dead. You've shown that you have power over the dead, and you've shown you have power over just about everything else. Is now the time that Israel is going to rule the world? Is this the thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Is this that moment? And Jesus said, not yet. Not yet. That's in my Father's hands. It'll happen whenever he says it. Don't forget the number of instances that and things that he gave to anybody that wants to read the Bible that point to when Jesus is coming back. It's coming, but in the meantime, serve the Lord. Obey the Lord. Grow as a Christian. Point other folks to the straight and the narrow path, and not just your neighbours, your countrymen. And not just your countrymen, but anybody and everybody that you come across, tell them about the great things that Jesus has done for you. Because if he'll do it for you, as what did Paul say, the chiefest of sinners, he'll do it for anybody. Now, the point where our message is actually going to be coming from is fast approaching, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. After he had given them a last little bit of encouragement, and last little bit of exhortation, and cooled their heels. Do you remember he had to cool Peter's heels when he was talking about John? What's this guy going to be doing, Lord? What'd the Lord say? Don't you worry about him. You just do what I tell you to do, and that'll be plenty. Jesus was taken up into the air, disappeared into a cloud, and everybody was standing looking up. That's really strange. We have never seen anything like that before. Although there was one man in the Old Testament times, Elijah was carried up to heaven in a fiery chariot. But nobody ever went up to heaven like Jesus and didn't have a bunch of people standing around looking up. Now Steve tells a funny story about whenever he was a naughty, I was going to say, a naughty little boy and the things that he used to get up to. But you've heard the stories about people standing looking up and how you can soon gather a crowd. It does happen. That's just the nature of people. If you appear to be engrossed in something and you're out in public, other people are going to be engrossed in it. Sometimes we really are that easily led. So they're all standing around and they're all looking up, and I would say it could maybe be two angels that said, "What are you doing looking up into the air?" This same Jesus that went up into the clouds, he's going to come back exactly the same way. And of course, if you're to read on into the book of Revelation, and even God, the Son's own words in Matthew, it says he's going to come back as the lightning shines from the east even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be in the sky. And every eye will see him. And there'll be a lot of people will be made to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is King, sir. I don't know if they'll ever do that in their hearts and confess him as Savior and Lord. But I remember years ago there was a Russian fella who claimed to be Jesus Christ. And they had his name, and they had his birth certificate, and they even knew the village that he came from. I want to tell you that when Jesus comes back, he's not born of a virgin. He's not coming back as a little baby. He's coming back as the avenging Son, as the Lion of Judah. There's not going to be one backsliding, traitorous minister that stands behind a pulpit is going to lay his hand on Jesus this time. They'll all be bowing the knees, whether they like it or not. He's coming back with a rod of iron in his hand, and he's going to rule the nations with that rod. And that means even this nation. And that means that people that's caught for adultery that is so easily forsaken in these days will be put to death. People that are caught thieving will be severely punished and will pay back, I think it's 3 or 4 times what they took. People that take somebody's life for their own personal profit, their lives will be forfeit. All of the commandments, when they're broken, people will pay a penalty. And you know what? Lost people are not going to be one bit happy. Those that's really saved and those that trusted in the preaching of the 144,000, they'll be over the moon. They'll be elated. Because it'll be like a little taste of heaven here on earth. Doesn't mean there'll not be any need for the forgiveness of sins. There will be, of course there will be. Where even those that have trusted in the preaching of the 144,000, are still going to have that old sin nature. Still going to make mistakes. But those unrepentant sinners, it's going to be a tough life for them. And that's the way Jesus is coming back. There's not going to be a birth certificate. All there'll be will be a recording of this man appearing in the clouds with 10,000s of his saints. And it'll be broadcast over all the world. Now, I think some of us are probably old enough to remember when there wasn't a worldwide communications network. I know if my dad was here, he would remember when there wasn't that. There certainly was nothing in just maybe 60 or 70 years ago that would have broadcast video immediately the whole way around the world. But here we are today, and the best that we can do to lift ourselves up is only fulfilling biblical prophecy. These things are in the Word of God, and they are going to happen just like the Lord said it would. Jesus is coming back in the air to take his children home, and then 7 years later, he's coming back in the air to Jerusalem to put to death the armies of the Antichrist, to bind the devil for 1,000 years. There's not going to be a birth certificate. There's not going to be half brothers. There's not going to be a mummy and a daddy. It's going to be Jesus, the King of Kings. And he is coming to set things right, to give us 1,000 years. So that's what these two men are talking about. That doesn't mean that we get to be on holiday. That doesn't mean we stand around
with her eyes fixed in heaven, getting posture problems, having sore necks. We have to keep our eyes on what's going on around us too. There's not one of us here, I don't think, that has learned how to toast fresh air and put a spread of butter and jam on it. And if you have, I'm willing to write down the recipe. There's not one person here has managed to put fresh air in the oven and roast it and have it come out tasting like chicken or beef. No. And there's not one person here has managed to make a nice cup of tea out of fresh air boiled in the kettle. My kettle just refuses to boil fresh air. There are certain things we need to keep our eyes on in this world. I don't know about you. I am glad of all of them, and I have needed to avail of most of them in the past couple of years, and I thank the Lord for all his provision for me. If it hadn't been for Ling really putting the pressure on me to meet up with her husband, I would be standing here like this. My arm would be stuck like that. But he fixed a frozen shoulder. We have needs in this world. We have things that need to be eaten in this world. We have things that need to be worn in this world. We have jobs that need to be attended to in this world. And we need to pay proper attention and give them our proper attention. But there's also a lot of things going on in this world. That's us just looking out. That's us looking down. There's things going on in this world that they're not there to help you and they're not there to benefit you. They're quite literally there to destroy you. The world, all the things that's going on in the world, and by the world I mean popular opinion, and I would just like to say I'm all for democracy whenever the most of people are good and decent, but I'm for a good benevolent dictatorship whenever they're not. There are, whenever democracy has its way, stupid things, dangerous things, murderous things that get brought into law. And at the risk of repeating myself from the service this morning, we have the LGBT movement and all the other letters of the alphabet that they want to fire in there. We have abortion, we have gay marriage. We have so many things in this world that we take as normal, but if we were to transplant someone from maybe 100 or 150 years ago into this world and tell them about the great things that's going on in this world, they'd have a meltdown at the way even Christians behave themselves in churches. At the standard of the preaching, and I include mine in there as well, and how watery it is, and how weak so many of them, they would have a fit. But that's the way the world wants it. And it's going to come after you, Christian, when you stand up for God. Whenever you say, whenever they're all holding hands and dancing down the street and half of them's not wearing clothes and the other half of them's wearing rainbow flags and blankets and they're trailing their wee children along, destroying them with every word that comes out of their mouths and with every activity that they have them taking part in. And you say, hold on a second. The hospital says the way you're living your life is dangerous. The psychiatrists say the way you live your life is dangerous. The drug pushers and the you know what the Vintners Association is? It's the people that supply alcohol to pubs and clubs. They will tell you that the lifestyle that you live is dangerous because of the amount of drugs and alcohol that you consume to quieten the reeling of your own conscience on you. And the shortness of your life will tell you that the life that you lead is dangerous. Why do you do that? The Bible, and as soon as you say the words the Bible or the Lord, they're going to come for you. And whether it's that or whether it's the much more gentle and much more subtle, whenever you're with your, I'm going to give you a personal testimony here. These are the things that stick with me and remind me of why I am the way I am and why we don't go out gallivanting everywhere. And whenever I worked in Desmond's, and you're going back too many years now. 30, nearly 33 years. How's that? Goodness gracious me. We used to go out the last Friday in the month, or one Friday every 4 weeks. And we would go and get our lunch, everybody in the department together, and it would just be like an hour out where we just had a catch up and a bit of crack and, as they say, broke bread together. And I was enjoying these beautiful, enchiladas. That was, one was chicken, they were about that size, and one was beef. And there was like a half a pound of cheese melted over them, lovely spicy gravy in them. And I had a glass of Sprite, and it tasted so good. And I had finished it, and I was just enjoying my lips and my tongue tingling, and full feeling in my belly, all that good protein. And the Lord said to me, "Mark, you shouldn't even be here." Because I was having a pub lunch with the rest of them and the rest of them in Desmond's, in the upstairs, downstairs, just off the Ross Downey Road. And I said that, and I said, "Look guys, I really enjoyed the food, and I enjoy spending time with you guys. Because I really love my work. But I can't go back to a pub again. I just can't do it. The Lord's really put it upon my heart to be not in those places." And so we never went back to a pub. We went to the wee place, the wee coffee shop down in Drumahoe, and they had an upstairs. We just got one of the big long tables, and we met up there instead. And I thought, that's very nice of them. And a month or two goes by, and then I overhear a half a conversation about how everybody met up at one of the guys' houses for a wine and cheese evening, and how much they enjoyed it. And that hurt. Because I was excluded. What do you do then? Do you just go and have a wee sit in the corner of the office with your frown? The reason I did it was because my Saviour asked me to. So I am not going to look for my comfort in my abilities, my skills, my friends, my work, my pay. I'm going to look to Jesus. He asked me to do it. He had a reason for it. And he it was that I looked up. I seesawed from the ground to Christ, who strengtheneth me. Yeah. And it hurt. It still hurt. But I kept my eyes on Jesus. That's the reason I said what I did. And it's the reason I did what I did. And it's the reason I had that little bit of hurt. But you know what? I got the victory. Mm-hmm. It came to the point I thought, well, hold on a wee second. It niggled a little bit that I had to forsake a little bit of worldly fellowship. But whenever I set my eyes on Jesus, it didn't niggle me at all. In the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think, no, it's maybe out of one of the Psalms, I am persuaded, pardon? It's the verse out of 2. I'm not even quoting the right verse. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. And it enabled me to not be in bondage to popular opinion. I didn't care what other... Well, there's a wee bit of me did care. But I kept my eyes on Jesus. And again, another life verse that has been a real help to me. It was a description of Jesus talking about him setting his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to be crucified and to give up his life for us. He said, "I have set my face as a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed." Regardless of what my heart was doing, I just grabbed it and held it tight and did what needed to be done. And that's just that. I would like to say it's easy peasy lemon squeezy, but it's not. It hurts. You have to take your eyes off of the hurt and fix them on something else. I'm going to give you a little bit more of a personal testimony. Whenever I was in hospital, the first three or four days that I was in there, I did not feel very well. I was in a lot of pain. And even with the painkillers that they were giving me, even that IV paracetamol, good and all as it is, it still left a few hours in the day where I was sore. And I said to Monica, "Monica, would you just rub the back of my hand and up and down my forearm?" And her doing that took my attention off the pains in my stomach onto the tenderness on my arm. And that's what we need to do. Keep our eyes on that beautiful thing, that tender thing, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, when all of the world wants to use those things that we are going to lose anyway. It wants to take those things off us and try and hurt us and try and tip us over or steer us off course. And I know as well that that's the world and that's popular opinion, but our feelings get mixed in there too. And there's things that we do want to do. There's things that will, oh, I wish I could go out there. I wish I could be popular. I wish I could be rich. I wish I could work out and all the fellas would be jealous of my muscles and all the women would look longingly at me. Those are the feelings that people have. I wish I was contented. I wish I could live forever super fit. And we know that people think those things because at some point in their lives we thought those things. I have an endless procession of cars going up and down the lane to my house. Still, people still thinking those things. When God gives the things that's really important away to us. We have. The most dangerous thing that we're ever going to face in the world is the person we look at in the mirror in the morning. That is the person with the power to destroy our lives. If we don't catch a hold. That doesn't mean we're all going to end up like Mr. Spock out of Star Trek. We're not going to be emotionless robots. That's what I thought when I first saw Christians. They're just robots. It's like someone just stamped them out. And they all come in suits. And they all sing the songs. And they all put money in the plate. They just look like ranks of soldiers. It wasn't until I was on the inside looking out that I just saw lots of different people that loved the Lord and loved to praise Him and worship Him and do all that good stuff. Whenever your feelings start to drag you down, and they will, you need to look up. Instead of looking inwards, you need to look up. And you need to fix your eyes upon your Savior. And you need to remember, I don't know, or maybe it's more likely, I don't remember, how each one of you were as you got saved. I've only been here for, I think, for Christie's salvation. The rest of you may have shared your testimony. I can't honestly remember. I know some of you have, but whenever I got saved, I was over the moon. I was so joyful and so free because the burden of my sins was gone. Whenever the world tries to drag us, our feelings try and stop us, we need to remember what the Lord did for us. And in the strength of His salvation, go on past our feelings. I know I've shared this with you before a few times, but there are so many verses that I took time to learn in my formative years in the book of Matthew that have been tremendous helps, that have put me here, that are helping me through this service right now. And one of them is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct or guide thy paths. There's another great one. Don't ever be afraid to speak to someone about Jesus. For in that same hour it'll be given you what you shall say. And it'll not be you that speaks, it'll be the Holy Spirit that speaketh in you. And you might not be able to recall to mind a huge swathe of verses, but I guarantee you, if you have spent any time in God's Word, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the verses that you need, or the doctrine that you need to tell them, or the great things that God has done for you. Many times in the Bible, the Lord warns us about our hearts. The Bible calls our hearts desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. And who can know them? Sure. That's the old nature. But the new nature, stronger and greater, and has much more help. And if we are prepared to just think of it like a big Doberman, not a Doberman, a big Rottweiler, but on a choker chain. And whenever you tighten that chain, that'll stop it barking and yelling and stop it from wanting to run away so quickly. And we need to do that with our own feelings. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we need the greatest of purposes to do these things. We need to remember the joy that He started in us, the work that He started in us. I don't know if you've ever experienced the thrill of quite literally contending for a man or a woman's soul. It is thrilling when you understand the work, the battle that goes on. Being a Christian doesn't make you a namby-pamby. It doesn't make you a soulless robot. It shows you the real joys and the real pleasures and the real thrills, the ones that are good for the soul and the ones that will encourage you to greater heights, to greater deeds for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to keep your eyes on Him. Then there's the old devil. Remember Lucifer? One of the greatest beings that was ever created. Looks beautiful. Sounded beautiful. The covering cherub, he was called. And he is certainly not going to leave anybody that shows any aptitude or desire to follow Jesus Christ. You are not going to get away unmolested. If I said, be sober, what would be the next two words you would say? Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he walks about like this, and he's taking notes. He walks around, and he takes notes, and he sees where maybe your weak side might be. And then he doesn't come in with a battering ram or a stick of dynamite or a gun. He comes in with sweet sounding words. He comes in with nice thoughts and pleasant pictures. And he tries to convince you, just like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember when he lied to her and told her the absolute truth? Do you remember that? You'll not die, but you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And that was true. He didn't die, not straight away. He lived for nearly another 1,000 years. And that's the way he will come in. And he will say, do you know what? The Bible does say, thou shalt not kill. Because if you do, you'll be in danger of death yourself, in danger of judgment yourself. But that's not the way it works. Sure, look at all those women and men that's off to those abortion clinics, those altars to Molech that we have in the island now. They've just killed their babies and they're still fine. I want to tell you something, friends. They're not fine. I have read many a testimony of women that have given up their children. That's a polite euphemism for murdering their own children in the womb. And every time that they walk past a pram, they think that they should be walking past a pram. And every time that the date comes around to the day of the abortion, they think my child would be a year older. And they grieve throughout their whole lives. But those that never come to Jesus Christ never get the balm of Gilead that we sung about on their souls. They never get the peace or the forgiveness, the soothing of the conscience. Because only God can provide it. But the devil, he's a master wordsmith. And he can twist words. And he can even fool you into thinking and persuade you into thinking along his way. And he'll keep trying to put a wedge in between you and the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that we get this Word of God in our hearts. Anyone know how many pages is in your Bible? Mine is about 1800. There's a lot of words in there. But then there's a lot of situations we have in life. And those words, someday, maybe a lot sooner than you think, will help you out of a jam whenever popular opinion comes knocking on your door. Why do you go to church? Why is there only a handful of you folks in church when the rest of the town, I was going to say, is out in the pubs, but thankfully most of the pubs are closed. When everybody else is at home drinking the stuff they pulled in from the off license, why do you go to church? Do you not know you're in a minority? And you'd be able to say, well, the Lord said those people that are going to heaven are in a minority. Those people with their heads screwed on, with their houses built on the solid rock, are in a minority. But that minority's going to heaven. Where are you? Where is your drinking taking you? Where is your drug taking you? Where is your immorality taking you? And the answer is, it's a shortcut to hell in the lake of fire in many cases. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus whenever old feelings get in the way of doing what's right. You know, sometimes, and Brother Steve mentioned earlier on about his... about his granddaughter making these crazy claims about her and her friend. That upsets people. Especially people that love their grandchildren. That upsets them because grandkids might think it's grand. But when you've got a few years on the clock, you understand the true consequences of that sort of lifestyle. And you would do anything to impart that experience and that knowledge and those consequences to those people. But there's a true saying, you can't put an old head in young shoulders. Whenever the devil comes tempting, the answer has been, is today and always will be, to keep your eyes on the Lord. To look up. The great little verse in Isaiah 40 and 31, we refer to it many times. It's been a great help to me, and it is continually. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and mount up with wings as eagles, shall walk and not be weary, and run and not faint. Yeah. And that's what we need to do. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to do things God's way. Adam and Eve tried to get a shortcut to being godlike. Because the devil offered him. The very first man, the first Adam, the devil came tempting and managed to pull the wool over his eyes. The second Adam, the devil came tempting him too, remember? Oh, if you're so hungry, turn the stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are many people alive in this world today, but they're only half alive. There's a part of them is withered away, maybe even is dead in trespass and sins. And unless they get the Holy Spirit living within, unless they get the preaching of the full counsel of God's word, that very treasure that saved our lives, that made a difference when nothing else could, they will die in their sins and go to a sinner's hell and then to the lake of fire for all eternity. All the things that we do as a Christian are going to come up for review. In fact, not just as a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about that foundation that nobody else can lay, that foundation being Jesus Christ. But it also says, be careful what you build on. Some people's going to put works of gold and silver and precious stones. And I heard preachers say, well, one of those is prayers and the other ones is good works and the other ones is souls. Whatever it is. But other people, other Christians will put works of wood and hay and stubble on them. And God's going to check those out. He'll look at them with those eyes as a flaming fire that are described in the book of Revelation. And they'll burn away all the nonsense and all the drivel, but the stuff that's really valuable, the stuff that survives, the gold, the works of gold and silver and precious stones, they're your treasures. Those are the things that you do in your Christian life that God says, That's a good one. That tract you put on the door. That person that you shared a word of testimony with. Those prayers that you offered up of intercession for the lost and even for other Christians that are having a difficult time. I'm going to remember those. That's treasure in heaven. Because you know what the Bible says? Wherever your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also. So you can fill your pockets with money and your bank account with nines or ones or as many numbers as you want, as long as the zeros are at the right hand of the number. And that's grand. There's nothing in the Bible says you can't have money or lands or houses, but when they have you, the Bible says you have a problem. They should be your servants and not your master. But it says that every Christian, every saved soul should be doing something for Jesus. You don't have to be at it all the time, but you should do something for the Lord. You should obey his commands. You should point people to heaven. And every time you do, if you remember being a child and listening to that clink as the 5p or the 10p went into the piggy bank, there's another piece of gold or another piece of silver gets added to your treasure. And we don't do it for the treasure because, let's be honest, we're not owed anything. We don't deserve anything, but God is heaping up treasures for us in heaven. So that our hearts will be there. And the most valuable things that we do are heavenly. And so that whenever we look up, not only do we see our Lord and Savior, but we see a solid testimony. And we see the people that we pointed to Christ. And we see the leaflets that we put through doors. And we see the messages that we preached. And we see the times we rolled up our sleeves. Goodness, if anybody told you as a Christian that you would end up having to change a man in church that lost control of his bowels, you would think, that doesn't sound like the sort of religion I want to be part of. But when you love folks, it's not a bother. Friends, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not looking up with our hands in our pockets. But whenever trouble and woes and difficulty come our way and say, Lord, I'm having a wee bit of a rough ride at the moment. Is there any way that you could show me the way over that or around it or underneath it or maybe even just step to the side until it passes? When the old devil gives you a hard time, you know how to beat him. Submit yourself. Do it God's way. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And catch a grip of your feelings and don't let them take you off the straight and the narrow path. There are a lot of ups and downs in life. Just keep looking up. Keep your eyes on your Savior. And that'll see you through most, if not all of them. He loves you to bits. He knows you have a tough time with sin in every hand. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you his Son. He gives you his attention whenever you come a call. He gives you his angels to minister to you. He gives you and preserves his word. He just keeps giving. He's not trying to make life difficult. He's trying to make a difficult life easier for the Christian. Now I know whenever we preach, a lot of times there seems to be a lot of stuff there's, you know what? I'm going to have to get out of my comfort zone. And you're talking about learning chapters of the Bible. And I know Steve and Christy and Monica and Pat. I know you. I know for a fact that in our Friday night Bible studies, we have taken time to learn chapters of the Bible. I think there's only two men that ever had my mouth open whenever it came to learning chapters of the Bible. And one sitting at the back there, Christy. In 1 week, I think he pretty much caught up with us in the most of one chapter of the Bible. And Neil. The man who said, I can't learn the Bible. And in 1 week, I think he learned pretty much a whole chapter. And I thought, my goodness. The man that couldn't learn any gospel verses and he picked a whole chapter of the Bible. Friends, God has given us so much. He says, just keep looking up. Just keep your eyes on him. He says in Matthew 11, my yoke is easy. It was designed for us. And my burden is light. He said, come to me whenever you're laboring and you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the natural state of man, to walk and talk with Jesus Christ. And if you don't, all you're doing is yourself a disservice and making life difficult for yourself. I'm going to stop there. I see it's 8:30 already. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We have a slot for a hymn. If anybody... turn your eyes. Is that 264? 261, you reckon? It is indeed. It wasn't too far off. 261, if you're fit, let's stand as we sing. If you're not, just remain seated. Make a joyful noise. Good time and attention. God bless you. Safe travels back home. whether it's near or far, and we look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Amen. Christy, if you would lead us in a word of prayer and dismiss the meeting.